A couple of announcements before I read our New Testament text from Luke's Gospel. And if you got your Bible with you, it's going to be Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 20. Remember that 2 weeks from today, on Sunday, December 12th, we will have one service, 10 a.m. Doug Cortina, who is our candidate for associate pastor, is going to be here, and he will bring the message that morning. And I was asked recently, well, isn't there going to be more opportunity for different people in the church to get to know him? It's kind of the way, here's the explanation. It's the way Presbyterians do it.
Amen.
And we've always done it this way, so that's why we do it this way. And it is a little bit like getting married after the first date, but trust the committee that they did good work, and trust your own discernment of the Lord's leading. You're going to hear Doug preach in 2 weeks, and then he will leave the room to go into the cone of silence. And we'll have a congregational meeting where you members of the congregation vote to extend him a call and also vote on the terms of call. So that's 2 weeks from today. And then that evening at 5 p.m., we have our Christmas program and Christmas dinner at the Marriott, the hotel. Address is here in the bulletin. We do need you to sign up for that because we need a count for dinner. There is no charge for dinner, but we do need a count so we know how many people are going to be there. And there is a sign-up sheet over on the table. Please remember to get signed up. Now, let's turn to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to, for the season of Advent, I'm going to be in Luke's Gospel. Luke gives us more background leading up to the birth of Jesus than any of the other Gospels. Luke begins his story of Jesus, his account of Jesus, by telling us about a couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. And they are going to become the parents of John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way of the Lord, to make ready a people, to welcome their Messiah, their Savior. So, Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. Hear now the word of God. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me for prayer? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, once again, Luke begins his telling of the life of Jesus before Jesus is born. And he begins by telling us about this couple, the older couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth, who will become the parents of John the Baptist. But that's not on their radar screen. They had hoped and prayed for a child. We can assume that they had hoped and prayed for a child. They hoped and prayed that God would fill that empty place, but there was no child. No answer. Just silence from the Lord. And this is compounded because in Hebrew culture, children are considered a blessing from the Lord. And if you don't have children, that means the Lord is withholding his blessing. Now, we're told that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous before God. That doesn't mean they were perfect. That means they were in right relationship with God. They trusted God, even in spite of their unanswered prayers. They trust God. And they're models of faith. The Bible is about real faith for the real world. And Zechariah and Elizabeth trust God even though their deepest prayer has never been answered. Thank God the Bible is not a fairy tale book where every wish, every dream comes true. That's not the Bible. That's Disney's Pinocchio with Jiminy Cricket, right? Remember Jiminy Cricket? Fate is kind. It brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. I've always longed for a singing voice. But I'm glad we have talented, gifted people who provide the music. That offertory was awesome. today. But it always is. Anyway, and Jiminy Cricket used to sing, you know, when you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. That's not the Bible. The Bible is about real faith for real people in the real world. And Zechariah and Elizabeth are righteous before God. They trust God, even though their deepest prayer has never been answered. We understand unfulfilled hopes and unanswered prayers, don't we? Perhaps like Zechariah and Elizabeth, you've longed for a child or for a grandchild. Perhaps you prayed for years for the restoration of a relationship or to be delivered from an illness or for somebody you love to be delivered from an illness or from some disability. Maybe you've longed for something better in your marriage and prayed. Perhaps you have a child or a grandchild who's taken a destructive path away from God, and you've prayed and prayed and prayed for God to lead them back to Himself. Well, Zechariah and Elizabeth, in their faithfulness, present us with a watershed question. For whose sake does biblical faith exist? For whose sake does biblical faith exist? Do we look to God to step into our lives and fulfill our dreams? Or do we look to God for His leading and His plan for our lives? Zechariah and Elizabeth, once again, believe that God is worthy of their deepest devotion and obedience, even though their dream is unfulfilled. As a male member of the tribe of Levi, Zechariah was privileged to be a priest in the temple at Jerusalem. And the text talks about divisions. There were groups of priests that took turns conducting the rituals of the temple and conducting the worship in the temple. And it was the time for Zechariah's division to be serving. And he was chosen, it says, by casting lots, which is, I have no idea what it means to cast lots, but it's similar to drawing straws or rolling dice. Or drawing a name out of a hat. Zechariah was chosen by lot, drawing lots, he would be the one to enter in to the holy place in the temple to burn incense. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Not every priest got to do this, only the ones that were chosen by lot. And once you had done it, you would never be chosen to do it again. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So after a lifetime of waiting, Zechariah finally enters the holy place. And he would stand before the curtain in what's called the holy place. And he would stand before this curtain. And on the other side of the curtain, where he will not go, is the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is. Only one priest enters there once a year. But this, Zechariah, he's going to burn incense. He would take aromatic incense and put it on the burning coals of the altar. And the aromatic smoke that would rise up from the incense symbolizes, it's a beautiful symbol of the prayers of the people rising up to God. And as he, and as the smoke is rising up, Zechariah would pray for God to deliver Israel, for God to send deliverance. And this was a poignant prayer because the Hebrew people were under Roman occupation at this time. And they had a crooked king named Herod. And they knew he was crooked, but they were stuck with him. And he would pray. Zechariah prayed for God to send deliverance, to fulfill his promises to Israel. And outside, the people would be praying as well. Outside, the people would lie prostrate on the ground, face down, joining with Zechariah in prayer. Zechariah is here the embodiment of Israel's longing for a promised Messiah. It was a longing that went all the way back to Abraham, and we heard the text of God's promise to Abraham. And the story is very similar in some ways, because Abraham and Sarah are longing for a child, and they're well past the age where Sarah can have a baby. And in fact, you know, remember that an angel appeared to Abraham and said, Sarah is going to have a son. And remember, Sarah was listening inside the tent and she fell down on the ground laughing. Well, the joke was on her, because she did have a baby, and God instructed them, you'll name him Isaac, which means laughter. And I can just picture Sarah chuckling to herself every time she went outside the tent to call Isaac in for supper. Laughter, it's supper time. And she was reminded that God fulfilled his promise. Well, while Zechariah was offering prayer in the holy place, the angel Gabriel appeared to him. And Gabriel said, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. He will make ready for the Lord a people prepared. I remember that John spoke the words of the prophet Isaiah. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. He called the people to repentance, to return to God, to be ready for this Messiah that God would send. But the line that I really want to focus on today is what Gabriel said to Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Zechariah, that prayer that you prayed so long ago, the prayer that you've given up on, you don't pray anymore. Your prayer has been heard. The one that you stopped praying because you thought it was impossible. Also, the prayer of all Israel for a Savior. The prayer of the whole world. Longing of the world for a Savior. That prayer is going to be answered too. And many have given up on that prayer too. Well, Zechariah asked the obvious question. How shall I know this? I am old, and my wife is advanced in years. I really wonder if he was about to give Gabriel an explanation of human physiology. But Gabriel, God bless him, won't stand for nonsense. He won't stand for nonsense about what God can or cannot do. And you can almost hear a little edge in his voice when he says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Lesson one here, do not argue with an archangel. Especially about what God can or cannot do. Lesson two, God is faithful, and he will do what he has promised. Not in your time, and not in your way, and definitely not by a path that does not involve pain. Not in a fairy tale way, but in God's way, which is always the best way and the best time. Dear friends, Advent, you won't find Advent in the Bible. The calendar of the church year was developed in the early centuries of the church, but I think there's great wisdom in it. Advent is a time to recover hope. Advent is a time to allow God, the Holy Spirit of God, to rekindle hope in your life. To rekindle hope for our world that God loves, and to rekindle hope for the work that God has promised to do in you. In the opening chapter of the book of Philippians, it says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. God's not finished with you. God's not finished with me. God's not finished with our church. God is faithful and will do what he has promised. We need an annual season of Advent to rekindle our hope, because we have a bad human habit of settling. Zechariah and Elizabeth had settled. Abraham and Sarah had settled. Abraham said, Eliezer of Damascus is going to be my heir. And the Lord said, no, your own son will be your heir. Zechariah and Elizabeth had given up on having a child. And Gabriel said, you're going to be quiet until what I've told you comes to pass, that you'll have a son and you'll name him John. The question of Advent is not, can you live with unanswered prayer? We can all do that. We've been doing that for years and distracting ourselves with lesser things. The question of Advent is, can you still believe that God will bring a new thing into your tired heart? Do we believe God can do a new thing in this tired old world? Do we believe God can do a new thing in our church? Well, Zechariah got 9 months to ponder this in silence. And that's kind of a fitting rebuke, because what what would a priest who didn't believe in the promises of God have to say anyway? But thankfully, the grace of God is not limited by our unbelief. When the child was born, there was a great celebration in the community. Luke tells us about this in the latter part of chapter 1. The community celebrated because of this wonderful gift that had been given to Zechariah and Elizabeth, the birth of a baby boy late in life. And the community wanted to name, the community suggested, well, you got to name the boy after Zechariah. He'll be Zechariah Jr. And Zechariah got a tablet and he wrote on it, "His name is John." And all of a sudden, his tongue was loosed and he could speak again. And it says he spoke, blessing God. There is a Presbyterian minister that I know named Craig. His last name doesn't matter, so I'm not going to tell you that. He once stood before his congregation in Advent and he said these words. And this is a little bit long, but I feel a need to read you this whole thing. An incident from Craig's life about the faithfulness of God. He said, "As many of you know, my father died over Thanksgiving. Last Tuesday, my brother and I flew to Florida to bury him. Dad left us when I was a teenager. Early on, I prayed that he would come back. And my brother and I did all we could to find him. But whenever we found him, he would always move again. Eventually, I grew used to living without my father, and I grew accustomed to longing for him. Dad died alone in a rickety small trailer. But he once told a neighbor that he had a son who was a Presbyterian minister. And without knowing my name, this wonderful neighbor spent 2 days finding me after Dad had died. During the funeral, I thought a lot about my prayers for my father. I vividly remembered all the prayers I had offered over the years. The prayers of a teenager longing, begging God for Dad's return. The prayers that he would appear at one of my graduations, at my wedding, the birth of my child, my ordination. I had prayed that he would hear me preach just once. And as I stared at my father's casket, I wondered, whatever happened to all those prayers lying on heaven's floor? After the funeral, we went to Dad's humble trailer to see what hints we could find of his life. Then the grace came. We found his Bible and his devotional journal, which included his daily prayer list. The first two names on the list were mine and my brother's. I will never understand the lonely madness that drove my father away from everyone who loved him. But I am so thankful to know that he never forgot us, and to his dying day he was praying for us. Someday, on the other side of the river, we will be reconciled in Christ. The grace isn't that I found my father in time, because I didn't. The grace is that Jesus never lost him. And the grace is that as I prayed all those years about my dad, I was talking to my heavenly Father, who will never leave me or abandon me. Then he concluded, "The deepest longing of our hearts is not for the things we keep asking God to give us. The deepest longing is for God." And that means even unanswered prayer is a grace, because asking draws us to the Savior. "Don't be afraid," said Gabriel. "Your prayer has been heard. It may not be answered in the way that you want. It'll be answered with something infinitely better. The Lord Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus himself is the answer to every prayer." Let's bow together. Lord Jesus, you are more than enough to fulfill every longing, more than enough to fill every need. Lord, we trust our prayers to you, and we're thankful that you hear our prayers. But even when they go unanswered, at least unanswered in the time or the way that we might want, we thank you that you are faithful, that you will never fail us or forsake us, that nothing, nothing in all creation can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So rekindle our hope, O God, over this season of Advent. I pray for each one here. Rekindle our hope in you. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.